Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Well, we were not expecting to have a sports open line tonight. We were expecting to have a sports open line tomorrow night, which now probably likelihood will not happen. So we just trade tomorrow for today. And here we are. We were with you till 8 o'clock tonight. If you want to join with us, you can do so. Multiple ways to get connected. You can call or text 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, we welcome your comments in the chat. We are on Facebook, we are on Twitter, we are on YouTube, and we are available to you as we talk mostly Cardinals baseball between now and 8 o'clock tonight. On the program, we've put together a few guests that are going to join us. In about 10 minutes, our good friend Bernie Miklas is going to join us, KMOX Sports contributor, also part of the team over at STL Sports Central, and also contributes to the Cardinals Territory podcast, along with Katie Wu. So Bernie's going to be with us in about 10 minutes. Joe Roderick's going to join us at 6:35. A couple reasons why. Reason number one, Joe's awesome, and we love talking to him. Reason number two, because when the Cardinals get rained out, Joe Roderick comes on Sports Open Line. It has become kind of a bit. I feel like I'm downplaying his appearance, calling it a bit, but there's kind of a bit to it that it is an automatic that the Cardinals get rained out, he comes on. And then Jacob Sersosimo from Channel 4 and also from Matrix Midwest, he's going to join us at about 7:20. So I did not realize the actual number. This is one of the reasons that wonderful people like Derek Gould exist, because he knows stuff like this just off the top of his head. There is a rule in Major League Baseball about the number of split doubleheaders that you can play in a year without special dispensation from players. And that number is, I guess it's 5, because this is going to be the Cardinals' 6th doubleheader tomorrow. Cardinals players would have had to agree to a split doubleheader tomorrow. That's part of the collective bargaining agreement where owners, teams can put in place because it's extra time at the ballpark, right? You are asking players to show up for a game in the afternoon and to stick around for a game at night with a whole bunch of time in between. That's what a split doubleheader is, and there are restrictions on how many of those you can have in a season without it being voted on by players. I don't know if this was voted on by players or not, but players do have to agree to it. So I didn't realize the Cardinals were up at that number. You could ask anybody around here. When we first got word that it was likely to be a rainout today, I told everybody, I bet it's a traditional doubleheader tomorrow. And people kind of pushed back, like, nah, it'll be a split doubleheader. That's what they'll do. I said, White Sox don't really draw that much. They're not going to lose that much gate by doing just a single entrance opening. Cardinals are going to try to get out of town. It's a getaway day. This just yells and screams traditional doubleheader. So then it comes down as the traditional doubleheader, and I kind of puff my chest out a little bit because I got that one right. I don't get everything right that I say. And then I read the Derek Gould tweet that part of the reason why was the fact that they were at the point where players would have had to approve a split doubleheader, so instead they go to the traditional, which... It's still a long day at the ballpark. It's always, that turnaround is quick. That first game is going to end tomorrow. 30 to 45 minutes, generally closer to the 45-minute number, they're going to be playing baseball again. So there's a lot to do in those 45 minutes from a grounds crew standpoint. They're going to re-manicure the field. From a player's standpoint, they're going to go in, they're going to get changed. They're probably, more often than not, you wear different uniforms in that second game. Some guys will take a shower, you're going to try to eat something, all that sort of stuff. And then from a pitching standpoint, it's getting out to the bullpen and the starters getting ready and having the opportunity to go through their full pregame routine. A lot of those guys, before they're even throwing in the bullpen, they're out on the field doing some things. So that's a tight window. That is a tight window on the 45 minutes. I have not yet seen if the Cardinals have announced the starters for, if they could potentially do something different. This would be an opportunity to bring Michael McGreevy up. When did McGreevy last pitch? I should know this, shouldn't I? Hold on. Let's see. I'm just talking off the cuff here. Is there an opportunity? Because you'll have the extra guy available to turn on your microphone. I have no, you're trying to give me hand signals.
I am. It was June 8th, against the Dodgers.
He hasn't pitched in 10 days?
Oh, I thought you meant with the Cardinals.
No.
Oh, my bad.
I was about to say, all right, I'm still working on this. This is fantastic radio all the way around.
My thought there was, has it been 10 days since he's been back?
But that doesn't apply for the extra man.
Right.
Now, there is a rule about using the extra man when the rain out is called, like the day before. Michael McGreevy, he last pitched on June 14th. So that was Saturday, 1, 2, 3. It's 4 days rest. So maybe Michael McGreevy is going to pitch tomorrow. I don't know. I have not seen. Has anybody out there seen the starters listed for tomorrow? I have not seen that. If I do see it, I will. But that, to me, that's a potential opportunity. We'll see if they try to do it. Chicago's a really easy place to get into. I think Memphis is in Norfolk right now. I'm sure that if they want to get somebody into Chicago for tomorrow, they potentially can. All right, Bernie Miklas, he is going to join us in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. This is Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's an unexpected Graybar Sports Open Line. No Cardinals baseball tonight. They're back at it tomorrow. They'll play a traditional doubleheader against the White Sox with our coverage at 12:20, 1:15, 30, 45 minutes or so between game number one and game number two. Right now, we're very happy to welcome on to the program, courtesy of Saliga Heating and Cooling. It is our good friend Bernie Miklas. Of course, you see him and you read him over at STL Sports Central. What was STL Sports Hub? They've changed their name, so in case you're confused what in the world we're talking about, it's STL Sports Central now, and also he's part of the Cardinals Territory podcast, and he does a lot of stuff here at KMOX. Bernie, always good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Great to be with you, Matt Pauly. So I guess I'm kind of a relief pitcher out of the bullpen, so to speak, metaphorically speaking.
Let's see. I think the more apropos like thing here would be, this is one of those scenarios where the game is in the 15th inning and the next day's starter is going to be used.
Yeah, you're quick on your feet. I like that. Yeah, okay. That's creative. Yeah, I like that. I'd rather fit that profile. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we're going with. All right. So just really generally before we start to like get in here, the Cardinals played well yesterday, but obviously the trend over the last couple weeks has not been good offensively. It has not been good. Are you at the point yet where you're like legitimately worrying about who this team is offensively for the from a big picture standpoint, or do you still feel like this is a pretty good offensive club?
I think it's a pretty good offensive club. I think they've lost some confidence. You know, they were going through a pretty dry stretch there for a while where they had a bunch of games, 8 out of 16 games through Sunday where they had scored two runs or less in like half the games, 8 out of 16. And I think when that happens, guys get frustrated. They press. They lose confidence. And it's just kind of hard to get the mojo going. And listen, we all know the White Sox are terrible. Okay. But you got to get started now. I mean, you got to go in there, and if you have a chance to beat them up, you beat them up. And you build on that, and then all of a sudden people are coming to the ballpark, the players, and they're feeling better about themselves or feeling better about the team, and it all starts to roll again from there. Because often this year they've been an above-average offense. I mean, it's not a powerful offense. We know that. I mean, even their doubles rate has really slowed down, and they don't hit a lot of home runs. But they're very good at making contact. When they're at their best, they're battling pitchers, they're extending counts, they're making guys work, they're hitting strikes, they're putting the ball in play. And listen, that's fundamental stuff, so they can get back to that. I do wish they had more power. I do, because it would just make it a lot easier. It's really hard to kind of have to put a bunch together to score a lot. But I think it's a good offense that went through a really bad time. And now they just sort of have to put it all back together again.
I don't know if this is going to happen. And if you've seen something, you can tell me I'm wrong, and I'm totally fine with that. I have not seen any official announcement in terms of starting pitchers for tomorrow. Michael McGreevy, if he were to pitch tomorrow, it would be 4 days rest for him. Tomorrow would be his fifth day. You get that extra spot where that doesn't count against the, you know, guys being sent down for a certain number of days or anything. If I'm the Cardinals right now, I am getting Michael McGreevy to Chicago and having him start a game tomorrow.
Why not, right?
Yeah.
And then you can set up your pitching for the rest of the week against the Reds, you know, and I think could handle it. I don't know whether, you know, there's always a question like, well, how many pitches would you want him to throw? Would you put a limit, a harder or more stricter limit on him? I don't know the answer to that, but that's an interesting idea.
That's what, that's what I would certainly do. You mentioned it in your column today, and again, because it was against the White Sox, I don't want to make too much of anything, but at the same time, you look at what happened. So the Cardinals could have scored in the first inning yesterday. They didn't, and that was that kind of impending sense of doom, here we go again sort of thing. Then the White Sox push across a run in the bottom of the first inning, and it's like, geez, this team cannot get an early lead. And then they follow that up with a five-run second, which is fantastic. And as you've talked about it a lot lately, Bernie, like the inability of this team to have an early lead, it really felt like when you look at yesterday's game, this team getting the early lead changes everything, and it's obviously something they need to do more of.
Yeah, and during that 5-11 stretch that ended last night, the Cardinals, for people that didn't see the column or hear us talking about it on the Gas House Gang, you know, the Cardinals, in their 11 losses, they only had the lead at any point during the first three innings in like one game. In two other games, they were tied. So in the other eight losses, they were behind. And they were behind after the first, after the second, or after the third. And most of the time, they were behind by multiple runs. And see, when your offense ain't going all that well, and you're already kind of pressing, you know, all of a sudden you're chasing the game over and over again. Every day you're chasing the scoreboard. You're chasing the scoreboard. You're trying to make things happen right away. You probably get out of your mental zone that you need to be in to maintain your poise. So I thought that was a huge thing last night. That, yeah, here they go again. They're down 1-0. But listen, the White Sox were like shooting air balls all over the place, and you know, I was looking for the clown car a little bit, and it didn't come out. But they, you know, the as I joked today, you know, the White Sox were very generous hosts. They took it easy on the Cardinals, and they were very generous in terms of just helping the Cardinals get restarted here. But that's what you got to do, man. The Cardinals took advantage of it. I mean, they had 12 hits, 5 walks. I mean, 4 for 11 runners in scoring position. The top 6 lineup spots were ridiculous in terms of being great in that game. But that's what you got to do. You got to beat the teams you should beat. And one of the points I made today, you know, for all the people who say, oh, calm down, all you St. Louis media cheerleaders, it's just the White Sox. Well, number one, the Cardinals lost to the White Sox last year. They lost 2 out of 3. That was a team that's 41-121. If the Cardinals would lose this series, people would be squealing. Mm-hmm. And the Cardinals have not been all that great against lesser teams this year. Going by today's records before action started, in terms of losing, the teams that have a losing record as of right now, the Cardinals only 16-12 against those teams. So listen, one thing they got to do is beat teams that I think they're better than. And so you take it whenever that comes. You don't sit there and nitpick it, because that's just silly.
I listened to your conversation that you and Ronge and Tom had with Oliver Marmol yesterday, and something really struck me, because you guys were talking about it was a combination of getting guys playing time and also roster configuration. And specifically, it was, you know, Thomas Tajaisi and whether or not there's an opportunity to get him there and get more guys some days off and get him in there. Same thing with Nolan Gorman, getting more guys off and getting him in there. And Ollie talked through it and talked through it well, but he opened up his answer saying, you know, this is a front office decision as well. So that kind of struck me that he said that, and that's what he led off with. And he said he wasn't trying to pawn off responsibility there. But so often we feel like all these things are Ollie's responsibility. And I think the Cardinals give Ollie more responsibility than most organizations give their manager. But that stuck out to me that he specifically mentioned the front office a little bit yesterday. Did you catch that? Did you feel that in that conversation?
Oh, yeah. I thought he really wanted to make that point known, because I do think that maybe we, not necessarily you or I, but I think it's easy for, you know, a lot of people just to forget that the manager doesn't set the roster. And, you know, John Mozeliak has been, I've covered him a long time, and he's always been front and center about that. He's always made it clear where that line is drawn. And that is a traditional baseball thing, by the way. The general manager sets the roster. It's his decision. Then the manager, it's his decision who starts, who plays where, how he fills in the lineup card. So, you know, Ollie's the one that's always got to take questions about, well, why isn't Tajaisi up here? And I think he was, I don't think he was playing defense. I just think he was reminding people of like how the jobs are structured. And I know that Mozeliak is a strong, strong believer in if a young hitter or pitcher isn't getting the work up here, he doesn't want him up here. I mean, I saw that with a very young Colton Wong, mm-hmm. when he, you know, 2014. You know, Mike Matheny, you know, Colton Wong would have like 2 games where he went 1 for 8 with like, you know, 3 strikeouts, and then he wouldn't play. And like 2 or 3 times, Mozeliak had to intervene and send Colton Wong back to the minors. He would have preferred that he played. But the lineup card belongs to the manager. So these things happen quite a bit. I think Ollie just was trying to remind everyone of that. My feeling is, and if I'm wrong about this, I'll apologize to Ollie if he lets me know, hey, big fella, you're wrong about this. I actually kind of think he wants up Tajaisi up here. Because one thing he did when I asked a follow-up question about this, you know, I explained, well, you know, you could get Tajaisi a couple, 3 games a week, because he could, if you give Wynn a little extra rest, you give Donovan a game in left field, or you rest him, Donovan maybe plays third base, Gorman maybe plays third base, which means, Tajaisi could play some second. If you rest your guys, Arenado and Wynn and Donovan primarily, if you rest your guys a little more, you'd be able to get Thomas Tajaisi in there. And he agreed that he could. And that's when he kind of came in with the, well, you know, but I don't set the roster. I think he would find a way to get Thomas Tajaisi involved. I really do. I think he really loves the guy.
He's having a hard time finding Nolan Gorman time, though. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Kevin Wheeler sent me the lineup and he said, guy's been their best hitter for the last 3 weeks and leading the team and everything. And the White Sox are starting a right-hander and he's on the bench. At some time, you know, there are times I just like want to say, you know what? I just got to stop talking about this because it's driving me crazy.
Fair enough. Well,
it makes me wonder about the whole runway thing. That runway is not open for as much for some people compared to other people.
Yeah, we should probably just start to stop using. Like, that's not what this season is. So
right,
they're not saying it. We keep saying it, but it's,
I like that.
Yeah, I'm like kind of done with it. But I'm
with you.
Again. All right, very good. Well, Bernie, we always appreciate the time. Thank you for agreeing to do this at the last second. And of course, we can't let you get out of here with telling us about our friends over at Saliga.
It is my pleasure. Saliga Heating and Cooling is a Daikin Comfort dealer, been taking care of St. Louis family since 1927. Four generations of Saligas. Dan Saliga being the latest owner, operator of this proud family business. Hey, their name and their reputation means everything. And we have learned as a Saliga family, calling on them for 16, 17 years, we've learned, you know, why that reputation means so much to them, why the Saliga name is such a source of pride to them, because the way they've always treated us, the way they've treated our neighbors, they set the standard for honesty and knowledge and professionalism, prompt service. When they come into your home, they're classy. Also, in our experience, they never try to upsell us, never try to talk you into something, never put pressure on you. In our experience, Saliga Heating and Cooling does the opposite thing. They're like, no, you don't need a whole new boiler. You don't need a new boiler. We can keep this thing going for another couple years. We can extend the life of it. And they found that out with a maintenance check. So they're honest that way, and because they want you to be a repeat client. They want you to call them every time you need something. Also, go to SaligaHeatingCooling.com and take a look at the Priority Club. It's a maintenance plan that will save you money because it'll extend the life of your equipment. You'll also get priority scheduling, and you'll have the peace and comfort of knowing your home is safe and ready for all four seasons. The phone number for Saliga Heating and Cooling, 314-481-7333. Or to find out more, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. Thank you.
Back at it here on KMOX. It is a sports open line, a Graybar sports open line, as we are rolling through on a night where we thought we would have baseball for you, but it is evidently, we'll find out for sure, but it is evidently raining in Chicago, so there was no way to get the game in. They're playing a traditional doubleheader tomorrow in Chicago right now. And of course, those of you who follow along here at Sports Open Line, you know that we've got a little bit of a bit going. I hate calling it a bit because I love having this guy on, and I feel like calling it a bit kind of dumbs down or lessens the impact of having him on. So I'm not trying to do that, but it's also fun because when it rains, we bring Joe Roderick on the show. If it's a Cardinals rainout day, it's a Joe Roderick day on Sports Open Line. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
I am good. You're in Chicago.
I am. I came up for the games today. I think we've talked about this before. So I grew up on the south side of Chicago. So I grew up a White Sox fan. And any chance I have to come back up here to Comiskey, as I still call it, I will take full advantage of that. So came up here and was there last night, had plans to go tonight with a few friends from college. And as I was just telling your producer, Kyle, I got in a quick nap before it. I woke up and saw I had a text from him, a text from Claves, a text from my buddy, everybody saying the game was canceled. And yeah, a little bummed out about that.
Are you going tomorrow or do you have to get back to St. Louis?
I got to get back to St. Louis. My kid has a baseball game and I coach, and I'm going to get back on the road maybe tonight. I don't know. But I'm going to be back. Got to be back for that. So I'm going to miss out on the game tonight, which I was looking forward to seeing Sonny Gray on the mound going up against the White Sox offense.
Is it raining right now in Chicago?
It is. Yes, it is currently raining right now. I thought looking at all the reports, I thought that it looked like it was going to stop around, 8 o'clock or so. So I thought maybe they were going to try to get it in. You know, normally teams will look at that and they'll say, yeah, we don't want the fans driving to in bad weather. But I mean, you know, you're talking about a couple hundred that are going to a White Sox game. So I didn't think it would really matter for that.
Well, and they have to do the like when they came out with the traditional doubleheader, they have to do it because of the number of doubleheaders that the Cardinals have played this year. There's rules with the PA, but even if that didn't exist, they probably do that. They're not worried about the gate tomorrow being impacted by losing the attendance for one game. They're going to be just okay.
Yeah, I saw Derek Gould's tweet about that, saying that, you know, the Cardinals have played so many doubleheaders that now the players have to decide. And I'd love to know just what exactly goes into that, like how that is decided. And because, you know, I mean, we've talked about this, and I'm sure, you know, you've talked to players about it too. Like, they hate having to make up a game on a day off. They don't want to give up that off day. They'd rather play the doubleheader, but I wonder what goes into it as far as, okay, hey, we're just going to go back to back, other than, you know, okay, we're going to wait 3-4 hours, clear out the stadium, and then bring them back in. But it's, man, I mean, it's crazy the amount that they've had so far. We're not halfway through the season; they already have 6 now. This is, this is torture on arms in the bullpen.
It is, and I'll see what happens. I got somebody, I threw out the idea of using the extra spot tomorrow for Michael McGreevy, because McGreevy last pitched in the minor leagues on June 14th, so that was Saturday. If he were to throw tomorrow, that would be a 5th day. It would be, so 4 days rest. Now, admittedly, at Memphis this year, he has not pitched on 4 days rest and gone every 5th day. They have a day off every week, things like that. So he's gotten more rest. So I get in the sense that it'd be short rest based off what he's done this year, but it's still 4 days off going in. I wouldn't mind seeing McGreevy in that spot tomorrow.
And what? Who are your options at this point?
Well, because, just going with what you were going to go with, yeah.
Right. No, I'm just talking about for that extra arm, because we've seen all of the extra arms, you know? Like, we've seen the Memphis shuttle, and there's not a whole lot there to be overly impressed about. I mean, Granello's up on the team now, so, you know, you have the latest flavor of the month, so to speak, of that arm down in Memphis. So I don't know what the other options would be. So putting McGreevy in there just in case too, you're playing the White Sox and you have your top two starters going, they should both be able to go 6 or 7.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't need to have just some Memphis arm up here, you know, ready to pitch innings in case of a blowout. Like, you should be going into these games ready to attack and ready to go with your best arms out of the bullpen. So having him there, you know, just kind of a, you know, break in case of emergency type thing for a couple innings, you know, 40, 50 pitches might not be the worst idea.
Yeah, they could go with Graceffo. Graceffo's been working out of the pen lately at Memphis, and he went yesterday for 2 innings, but he would, you know, the day off, he'd be available and he'd give you some length. But your point remains. If you really, even if you don't start McGreevy tomorrow, but you just have him there as a guy who's going to, you know, piggyback with one of the other two guys, you can get some innings out of him.
Yeah, and even if he doesn't pitch at all, it's more knowledge that he gets on the big league club, which is one of those things that he might be missing out on just coming up and going back down as much as he has been, the way the Cardinals have kind of used him. And you know, we got the good start out of Matthew Liberatore yesterday. He went out there and he was really effective, looked really good. So maybe the rumors of his demise, maybe we were a little too premature on that. But at some point this year, I feel like Michael McGreevy needs to be in the rotation if the Cardinals are going to be serious contenders for a playoff spot.
I would, that's it. I was about to say I would agree. Serious contenders for a playoff spot. Does Michael McGreevy, like, I need to think through that one a little bit.
Matt, you saw him a lot more than I did down at spring training. You saw plenty of his starts down there. And when you look at the numbers that he had at the end, like, he was your best starter in spring training.
Yeah, and he's obviously been really good when he's been up. Like, I think Michael McGreevy needs to be.
Look at the two teams he faced this year. Look, yeah. I mean, the Cardinals have thrown him out there against the Mets and the Dodgers this season. And he had a rough first inning against the Dodgers, but then settled in and went and was strong
and was really good against the Mets. This kid can pitch at the major league level, and he would be one of your top three starters if he's in the rotation right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think this team can contend for a playoff spot as is. So, but I think he helps you for sure. And at some point, he's going to be here. I don't know when that's going to be. At some point, he's going to be there. You're not going to keep him down at Memphis. But I understand the frustration for Cardinals fans watching him continue to go out and pitch at a really high level at Memphis, knowing that he could do that. When the Cardinals starting pitching is going well, it's not something that you're worried about. But in the month of June, Cardinals starting pitching has left a lot to be desired. And then you got this guy who's got a little bit of a major league track record continuing to pitch well down there. It's part of the conundrum, Joe, that is the 2025 St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, too, is maybe fans not understanding fully how things work with bringing him up for the start, sending him back down, things like that. So I know, you know, STL Sports Central, like, we put out the graphics. We'll put it out there on social media, and you see just immediate reaction from fans of anger. With that anger and confusion with why they're doing what they're doing. But it's all about, you know, kind of that, I don't want to maybe use the word roster manipulation, but it is, I mean, every team does it. You know, the rules are there in place. The options are there in place for teams to do this. And the Cardinals have picked and chosen when to do that with Michael McGreevy so far. And at some point, like you said, at some point, he's going to be up here, and he's going to be up here for good.
He is Joe Roderick. He's part of the team. He's a big part of what's going on over at STL Sports Central. As mentioned, what you previously knew as STL Sports Hub is not that anymore. Now back to STL Sports Central. Make sure to check that out for yourself. They've got all kinds of content. Of course, Bernie's a big part of that. We just had Bernie on a few moments ago. Joe, thank you so much. We will get you on again, either just at a regularly scheduled moment or the next time the Cardinals get rained out.
I hope the rain stops. I mean, that for youth baseball too in the area, it has just been brutal. I know over on the Illinois side, I think the league that my son's a part of, like, they've had over 350 games rained out this year.
Wow.
And it's a mess for so many people, and I feel for those leagues.
It's such a, like, quick thing. So my daughter is in swim lessons this week at an outdoor pool, and we were worried that this morning was going to get rained out, and if it gets rained out, then they do a makeup day. And that, like, as parents who have schedules, and all of a sudden you got to throw in a makeup day of swim lessons, it's not easy. It's not easy all the time.
No, they pushed back, like, the league playoffs for my son, like, a week. And, you know, there's parents that they thought the last day was going to be one day, and they're setting summer vacations.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, you know, it is. It affects a lot of different people in a lot of ways.
It is a thing. Well, Joe, we appreciate your time, and have a very safe travel back to St. Louis, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Matt.
You bet. That's our good friend Joe Roderick. St. Louis STL Sports Central is where you see what he's part of, both from in front of the screen and behind the screen standpoint. We'll take a break. We got more coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Just a few minutes left in hour number one of the program. In hour number two, we're going to be opening up phone lines and the text line and all that sort of stuff, talking all things Cardinals baseball, giving you a chance to chime in. We'll see what happens. In all likelihood, the McGreevy thing them throwing out probably isn't going to happen. They've been giving him more than 4 days rest every time out. So I don't know when you've got. Here's the way I look at life. I was about to say this is a life tip. I don't know if it's a tip because I don't know if this is good or not. But this is the way I live my life. I look for opportunities. If there is an opportunity for something, I go for it. Like when the door opens up a little bit, let's start walking through that door. And sometimes you got to create your own opportunities and everything. I get that. But like I'm looking for opportunities. So if you remember the last time the Cardinals played a doubleheader, I was saying, and you know what they need to do? They need to get Ryan Fernandez up because Fernandez has been pitching really well at AAA Memphis, and I'm sure there's stuff that they're still working on with him, but he's been putting up good numbers, and when you bring somebody up as the extra man on the doubleheader, it doesn't count against their options. It doesn't count against the amount of time that they have to spend down at AAA. It doesn't count. It's an opportunity. It's a free chance to do something. So I was pushing for Ryan Fernandez because I thought to myself, here's that opportunity. Here's that chance to bring a guy up and put him into a big league game and see if the stuff he's been working at AAA is real. If the numbers he's been putting up at AAA are legit. So it didn't happen. I don't remember who they called up on that one, but they called up somebody else. To me, this is an opportunity. Is it a perfect opportunity? No, because McGreevy has been pitching on more than 4 days rest every single time out this year, and he is a young guy. And you know, Walt said to me on the stream asking if I was so desperate to see the Cardinals give young pitchers a look that I want to see McGreevy on short rest. We can argue whether or not 4 days rest is short rest, but it's short rest compared to what he's been getting. I think it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to put McGreevy in there and just give him that big league chance and give everybody else a day where it was not expected to happen. Would it be better if this was happening 1 day later? Would it be better if McGreevy would have last pitched 1 day sooner so there was 5 days off instead of 4 days off so he's more on the schedule that he's used to being on? Yeah, and that's probably the reason that what I'm proposing is not going to happen. And I need to like keep checking Twitter to see whether or not there has been any type of announcement, but it probably is just going to be Sonny and Fetty who start the two games. But that's where I'm coming from. I look for opportunities. How do you get the chance tomorrow to have a 27th player on the roster? Yes, you can look at it as who do we put on the roster to help us survive? And there's a lot of like logic to that, using it as a survival tool because doubleheaders are not easy, especially when you've got so many games in a row after this one. But I think you can also look at it in my way of, What's the opportunity? You get a chance for a free roster spot for a day. How would you like to use that roster spot as a way that it can be a good opportunity? We'll see what they end up doing. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back as we get into hour number two of the program. If you're tuning in looking for Cardinals baseball, well, you're not going to get it tonight because they were rained out in Chicago. Instead, a traditional doubleheader is going to be coming up tomorrow afternoon as they'll play game one at the originally scheduled time of 1:15. That means our coverage at 12:20. Check that, 1:10. That means our coverage at 12:15. They'll play the first game. They'll have about 30 and 45 minutes, probably closer to 45 minutes between games, and then the second game will indeed get underway. So we've got doubleheader baseball tomorrow and a full sports open line tonight. We've been talking a whole lot about what it's going to look like and what they should do in terms of starting pitching tomorrow.
This is breaking news from St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Oh, baby, here we go. Got some news for you when it comes to tomorrow's pitching. Derek Gould has reported that tomorrow, originally, if you remember, the original plan was for the Cardinals to send to the mound tonight, Sonny Gray, and then Eric Fetty tomorrow. Well, that is not going to line up that way. We've been talking about it a whole bunch. The way it is going to line up tomorrow, according to Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Eric Fetty is going to start game number one. And in game number two, the 27th man for the doubleheader is going to be right-handed pitcher Michael McGreevy. McGreevy is getting the start in game number two. He is pitching on 4 days rest, so a traditional fifth-day start for him, which he hasn't really done this year at Memphis, but it's still not like it's super short rest or anything. You would think there's a chance he might be on a little bit of a pitch count, but who knows? But there you go. Michael McGreevy indeed is going to start game number two of the doubleheader tomorrow. I talked so much in that last segment before the news about using the 27th man for the doubleheader tomorrow as an opportunity, and this is an opportunity to A, get Michael McGreevy in their first start, and B, give everybody that day off. And there's been so much talk about how the Cardinals have kept their starting pitching healthy this year, trying to utilize essentially a six-day rotation as often as possible, utilizing the off days when you have that, utilizing a sixth man when you don't have off days and everything. So this checks both these boxes. I'm excited. And this might just, this can probably afford you three McGreevy starts in the month of June because they can then return him to Memphis with it not counting against his clock where he has to spend the amount of time that he has to spend down in Memphis, and then he can return for another start later on in the month, which is what, you know, if you've listened to Oliver Marmol talk recently, I think he was asked on Gashouse Gang this past Tuesday, if I remember correctly, I think he was asked about whether or not they would go back to a six-man rotation, and he said that they've got it pretty much mapped out, and that is a likely thing later on in the month. So in many ways, this is a benefit to this team, to what they want to do when it comes to utilizing starting pitching. They are able to do this. So Michael McGreevy is going to start the second game of the doubleheader tomorrow. And I'm very happy about that. I'm really, really happy about that. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do. Sonny Gray, by the way, he gets pushed back. And so he'll pitch this weekend against the Reds. I don't think they have announced yet when he is going to when he's going to pitch. I like this for a couple reasons. First off, with all due respect to the Chicago White Sox, having Fetty pitch against a team that you're right next to in the standings, that can be a more impactful moment. It also buys an even a little bit more rest for Sonny, because he's coming off a start his last time out where he was frustrated. And he's somebody, of all the guys out there that kind of have a routine to getting ready for their start, Sonny's got a routine to it. He goes through a lot. Not that, look, if you needed him to pitch tomorrow, he could pitch tomorrow. It would be fine. But in a perfect world, it's not something where he went through his routine to get ready today. And I'm not talking about like literally going to the bullpen and throwing before your start. He didn't do that. But everything else that you do throughout the afternoon leading in, he did that. It's not a perfect scenario to have him pitch tomorrow. So instead, you push him back. Maybe he goes, I would think likely he goes Friday. That's what, you know, just push him back, past tomorrow where he would go Friday night against Cincinnati. That seems to be a logical thing, and everybody else gets pushed back as well. And if you do that, then the rotation would likely go Gray on Friday night against Cincinnati, Pallante on Saturday, and then Michaelis on Sunday, and then the Cubs roll into town on Monday, and that's where you would go with Liberatore. And at some point during that Cubs series, that's probably where you would utilize Michael McGreevy. So if McGreevy's pitching tomorrow, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you could pitch him either Wednesday or Thursday against the Cubs if you wanted to do that and bring him back up. So that's where things are at right now. If you've got any thoughts on that, you can certainly come in here. Walt's not a big fan. Walt's been messaging us on the video stream. We're always streaming this show on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. If you're watching, there's this weird glare behind me, and I look like a ghost right now, and I don't know why. So hopefully, maybe that's good. Maybe holy forces are around me right now, protecting me. Maybe that's what's going on. But Walt is not a big fan of it because of the shorter rest. Again, it's not... We need to watch how we use this term, I think. It's not short rest in the sense that it's 4 days rest. And in a standard five-man rotation, that's the rest that you get. At the same time, it is short rest in the sense that McGreevy has basically pitched on more than 4 days rest just about every single time out this year. So that is something that he hasn't done a whole lot of. So that's why I think there might be some sort of a pitch count restrictions. And look, he was pushed in his last start pitching against Gwinnett on, was that Saturday? I said, yeah, on Saturday on the road against Gwinnett, he threw 89 pitches. So that's a fair number. I mean, that's about what he's been throwing in his starts in May at AAA. He threw 90, 92, 90, and 94. Then his next start at AAA, that was that game where they pulled him after 4 1/3 at 75 pitches, knowing that he was going to make his next start at the big league level. But yeah, that's I think it's a good decision. I think it's a really good decision, and I am excited to see what Michael McGreevy can do. So this is taking advantage of the opportunity that you've been given by having the 27th man that you're able to utilize tomorrow. So that's a good decision. This year, yeah, we have been critical at times of the Cardinals on some of their decisions that they've made. And I'm not saying that I agree with every single decision that the team has made this year. There's certainly some things that I don't completely, totally understand. There's some things that I would tweak. But, man, give credit where credit is due. The Cardinals have used common sense in their decisions more so this year than I can think of in recent years. And it goes back to some of the things that were done in spring training. It goes back to the start of the season and having Lars Nootbaar in that leadoff spot. Even now, like they had a fantastic opportunity when they made the decision to pull Lars Nootbaar out of the leadoff spot. They had a great opportunity to just put Mason Wynn there. And my contention is that Mason Wynn doesn't make a whole lot of sense as your leadoff hitter right now, that you can get more out of him. And I think what we've seen from him in the two spot shows that. He's been really, really good there. So what have they done? They've taken a guy like Brendan Donovan, who does profile out as somebody who should be able to succeed in the leadoff spot. He has fantastic on-base percentage. We saw him with the four hits yesterday. They put him there. And Donovan's going to be the leadoff guy until Nootbaar gets right. So I think, you know, the decision to go with Victor Scott II and eventually move on from Michael Ciani and put him at AAA. You know, they were doing kind of that wacky thing with the defensive closer there for a little bit. But at some point, the roster just didn't make sense anymore with Ciani on it. And they didn't go try to do something wacky. They did the common sense thing, and they got Ciani to AAA. Like, that's sometimes in recent years, it felt like they've not always been the best when it comes to common sense decisions. And I think they have been really, really good in those areas this year. So I commend them for that. And I think McGreevy starting tomorrow makes a whole lot of sense. We'll talk with Jacob Sersosimo. You see him on Channel 4 and Matrix Midwest. He joins us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Back at it on KMOX, a Graybar Sports Open Line, an unexpected Graybar Sports Open Line because we were expecting Cardinals baseball tonight. We don't have that. They were rained out in Chicago against the White Sox. They'll play a traditional doubleheader tomorrow. Don't get many of those anymore. More often than not, split doubleheaders, but they'll play a doubleheader of a traditional variety tomorrow. 1:10 first pitch for game one, 12:15 for our coverage, and then game two will roll right out of game number one with 30 to 45 minutes in between. Right now, happy to welcome on to the program. You see him on Channel 4. You see him on Matrix Midwest. He is our friend, Jacob Sersosimo. Follow him on Twitter at Jacob Sersosimo. Jacob, always good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. Thanks for having me on once again.
Yeah, absolutely. Breaking news of the last like 20, 25 minutes is the Cardinals are going to utilize their 27th man for the doubleheader tomorrow to bring up Michael McGreevy, and McGreevy is going to pitch the second game tomorrow. They'll push Sonny Gray back. He'll pitch in the Cincinnati series. That also gives you the opportunity to pitch Gray in both the Cincinnati and Chicago series. So just general thoughts on this news here. First, you know, McGreevy starting a game tomorrow, and also the way the rotation sets up now even a little bit better for the next week or so with a couple divisional opponents coming in.
Yeah, I really like it. Honestly, this year, if you're going to say we're going to give young people and young players a chance, like they've done with Victor Scott II, like they've done with Jordan Walker, like they've done with some of these players, then you might as well do it with Michael McGreevy too. I actually heard Ali Marmol say on one of your guys' shows on Tuesday, the Gas House Gang. He said something about some of these other players coming up, and he's like, for who, though? Who are they coming up to replace? And I think this is a perfect example of a need for Michael McGreevy, but I think that's a fair question. Even when you look, I think he was talking about position players,
yeah.
But it also works very well with guys like Michael McGreevy, right? He's a starter type guy, but you've already gone to six starters at one point this season. You also have Steven Matz kind of up there in the chamber as well. Like, where do you put Michael McGreevy? You get a doubleheader and you have a busy month of June after this, the second half of June going into July. This is a perfect time to bring up Michael McGreevy, I think. And I think when he gets up here and he gets his shot at the big leagues, I think he's intentional enough, and I think he is prepared enough to keep getting these shots at the big leagues. And if this is what they said they want to do this year, is give these young guys a shot, then I think this is a perfect example of giving a young guy a shot and continuing to find spots that you can bring McGreevy back up to the big leagues to get him innings. And that's exactly what they seem to be doing tomorrow.
Yeah, and if they want to run it this way, and we'll see if it plays out this way or not, because with it being the 27th man situation for tomorrow, that doesn't count against the required time that he has to go spend at Triple-A Memphis between big league stints. They can bring him up for the one game tomorrow, and then they could potentially bring him up again 6 days later, and he could make back-to-back starts now, because I know they want to go back to a six-man rotation at some point in the month of June. So it just seems like a really good opportunity to get him back up here. You were almost gifted a bonus start for McGreevy with this doubleheader tomorrow.
Yeah, get him as many innings in the big leagues as possible, right? McGreevy's not going to be necessarily your answer for this year. You've kind of gotten your good answer of a young guy for this year, or young guys, I should say, with Liberator and Pallante. But moving forward in your organization, you want who's the next big thing coming out of the minors. And it's going to be Michael McGreevy. You look at Tekoa Roby and Quinn Matthews, some of those other guys. Those guys are going to take a little bit longer. But this is Michael McGreevy, a guy that you've had in your minor league system for some time now, a guy who's kind of been trying to earn his stripes and get up to the big leagues. Get him as many innings as possible this season. I'm a firm believer in that. When you have opportunities like this, I'm not saying take innings away from guys that have gotten their innings deservedly so. Liberator, Pallante, those guys. You don't need to replace McGreevy with those guys, but when you have a chance like this, bring him in all day, because as many innings as he can get in a big league stadium, the better for the future of this franchise.
Yeah, speaking of pitching, yesterday we saw for Matthew Liberatore looked a lot better. 6 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits against the White Sox. He held velocity from start to finish. And I don't know about you, but especially when it comes to pitching, some of the a Liberatore, even though he's been a big leaguer for a while, he hasn't been asked to start every fifth day at the big league ever, and he has not been asked to start every fifth day, period, for a while since he was a starter coming up through the system. So you get a little bit concerned when maybe there's a red flag that pops up. It's only one start, but it really feels like yesterday was a good moment for Liberatore, as he seems to be trending back in the direction of who he was earlier in the season.
And I also acknowledge that it's against the White Sox,
yeah.
But I do believe that your assessment is correct. When you're dealing with, I think, putting these guys in a situation to play, not necessarily 162 because they're a pitcher, but pitch throughout a 162-type season and do this every fifth day, I don't really care against who it is or whose it's against, as long as these guys can get the confidence back. And when you're a big leaguer and you're younger and you haven't done a lot of this before, I think just getting confidence back is key. And that's exactly what Libby did yesterday on Tuesday, was able to get back out there and pitch 6 innings. I think a big worry with him of the last few starts was when he left that one game with fatigue issues. And they came out and said it was fatigue. And a lot of people are like, it's pretty early in the season, or it seems pretty early in the season if you're going to go the entire season as an every fifth day guy to have fatigue issues. Well, they kept throwing him out there, and you know, he went through a bumpy road, but then he comes and throws another 6 innings on Tuesday. So I think it's as much as you like to, you know, some people will be like, it's against the White Sox. It's against a lesser team that's not very good, the worst team in the AL. It is a good step in the right direction, being able to go out there for 6 innings and throw against big leaguers and have success. because at the end of the day, they still are big leaders. At the end of the day, he needed some confidence back, and he absolutely got that on Tuesday.
So this is something we've been talking about a lot. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. When guys are struggling, and the Cardinals have had a bunch of guys struggling at the plate recently, how much do you think that the correct answer is kind of just waiting it out, continuing to put them in the lineup, give them the opportunity to work their way out of it, and how much of it is giving a guy a break? Lars Nootbaar is now getting a break. He's been taken out of the leadoff spot. He was not going to start today if they would have played. Obviously, they're taking their foot off the gas. Everybody's going to get to that point at some point. The struggles continue. But where do you stand on this? How much leash do you give struggling players?
Man, it really is a fine line, isn't it? How do you manage guys that are really struggling? And Lars Nootbaar obviously is the most pressing situation that we have right now when it comes to the Cardinals in this. And they give him 3 days off, and then he comes back and doesn't have a great game. And then they, according to what they put out on Twitter, they were giving him the day off again today. So I think what's working in their benefit is they've already come out and said, this is a year that we want to give a guy a leash. Now, to your question of how long is that leash, I think that leash can be really long this year. I really do. You're not the Dodgers. And I mean that with all the respect to this team, but they've already come out and said that. So I think you can give a guy quite a bit of leash. Now, I think where the question really comes is every guy is going to be – it's going to be so individualized. And that is just what we as media or people as fans don't really know. Like, Ollie Marmol talks to these guys every day. Brown talks to these guys every day. He knows exactly what these guys need and how they work. Some guys just need to bat through it. I remember last year when Arenado was going through a slump and he quit taking batting practice, or he would take, like, he has this thing that he does that gets him back out of a slump. And he does that because he's an all-star and he has done that for so long. Well, some of these young guys are figuring out what they need to do. And I think right now you give them that leash to figure out what they need to do to get back out of a slump. Is it stop taking BP on the field? Is it, you know, switching cleats? Is, you know what I mean? Like, it's baseball. Guys do things. But I think you give them that leash to figure out what they need to do, because right now you're not necessarily a World Series team.
That's interesting to say that. I've told this story a couple times. Ivan Herrera, a week ago or so when the team was at home, we were talking to him in the clubhouse, and it was as BP was going on. We're like, oh, do we need to talk fast? Do you need to get out there? And he said, I'm not taking BP today. My swing is getting a little bit long, and I know when that happens, I actually need to take less swings. Herrera knows himself to a point where he realizes when stuff's getting out of whack, he actually needs to swing less, not more. Other guys, if stuff gets out of whack, go into the cage and take hundreds of swings until you get it right. That's, for me, that's one of the really cool things about sports and high-level athletes, is how everybody's got a different path to get where they want to go.
And I think right now we're going to figure out what Lars Nootbaar needs to do. I think when Lars Nootbaar comes back to Busch Stadium on Friday, I can guarantee one of the first questions, either before or after the game, if he plays or not plays, is what do you got to do to get back to the Lars Nootbaar that's really good at the top of the lineup? And I think the good part is you've been in the clubhouse in there. Lars Nootbaar sits right next to Nolan Arenado, and they're good buddies. And Nolan Arenado's been through this many times in his career and knows how to get out of it. So I think he's surrounded by a lot of good guys. But you mentioned it. Like, we just haven't really talked to a lot of these guys on what they need to do to get out of slumps. And some of them are young enough where maybe they haven't had as bad of slumps as they might see in the future. But that's part of being in the big leagues, and they just need to figure it out. That is a really interesting point, though, you said about Herrera, because it is ironic that I said it.
Yeah, absolutely. He is Jacob Sarsasimo. You see him over on Channel 4 KMOV, also part of the Matrix Midwest team. They are doing amazing things, adding more and more local sports coverage to the television airwaves here in St. Louis, which is great. And you know what? We just got done with the French Open. Jacob, give a plug for your tennis podcast, because I know for the tennis fans out there, I'm sure they would enjoy being able to hear that.
Yeah, two quick shameless plugs, I guess, okay, since you're giving it to me. You said Matrix Midwest. The game on Friday is actually over the air on Matrix Midwest, Channel 32 and Spectrum Channel 6. So since you said it, and we're talking Cardinals, you can actually watch Friday's game at home against the Reds on Matrix Midwest. I do a weekly podcast with the Believe Network. It's called BLEAV. Matt Pauly knows this very well, because we sit next to each other in the press box sometimes. But I've been a tennis fan for so long. I grew up playing tennis. I played college tennis. And once the majors roll around, I am watching a ton of tennis. I actually podcast every week throughout the entire year. So I follow tennis pretty religiously. The French Open was outstanding. The men's final was outstanding. And I'm really looking forward to a Wimbledon. It's already clay season. So I'm going to put my predictions out here in a little bit, not recently, but here in a few weeks about what we think Wimbledon's going to be. But I think some of these players at the top of the men's game are going to be pretty intense going into the grass court season in England.
Who's the young tennis player on the men's side right now that nobody's talking about that we should start talking about more and more?
You're starting to hear more and more of him right now, but his name's João Fonseca, and he's out of Brazil. He's young. He's like 18 years old, but he's kind of burst onto the scene this year. He's sponsored by On, and so there's not a lot of athletes sponsored by On. It's him and Ben Shelton on the men's side, which on the tennis side is a huge Roger Federer thing because Roger Federer's in on that brand, on the big running brand. But João Fonseca, he wears On gear. That's how I'm going to tell you to look out for him. But he hits a really heavy ball. He hits the crap out of the ball. He's kind of a bigger dude. Right now, when you go to slams, he's out there on court three, four, five, or six. In a few years, when that guy gets to be about 21 years old, I think you're going to have to pay the big bucks to watch him in Arthur Ashe Stadium or some of these big stadiums because, boy, is he an up-and-comer, and he's playing really, really good tennis at the age of 18.
He is Jacob Sersasimo. Again, watch him over at Channel 4. They've got the Cardinals game on Friday night. Sonny Gray might be pitching in that game now. We'll see once they officially announce it. But, Jacob, appreciate the time. We'll see you at the ballpark real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for letting me talk a little tennis as well.
You bet. Absolutely. Jacob Sersasimo joining us here on the program. He does love tennis. And so for the tennis fans out there, there is another resource for you when it comes to tennis content that you want to might want to consume yourself. We'll take a break. We got nothing but Cardinals from here to the end of the show. If you want to chime in on anything, we'll give you the opportunity to do so. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. Or you can leave a message on the video chat, and we'll get to those as well. Don't go anywhere. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Have you for another 20 minutes or so before we get out of here for the night. Cardinals White Sox not playing tonight. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow. Too much rain in Chicago, so unfortunately unable to get to the game. Teresa texting in says, bummer on the rain out. I saw the wall of water heading towards Chicago, but good deal on the pitching lineup for tomorrow, specifically to the news. If you missed it, Michael McGreevy is going to start the second game of the doubleheader tomorrow. Eric Fetty will go in game one. Sonny Gray is getting pushed back to the Cincinnati series. They have not yet announced what day of the Cincinnati series he would go. They lined it up, Pallante, Michaelis, Liberatore during the Cincinnati series. I would think that Gray's likely to pitch on Friday, but no official announcement on that quite yet. If you want to give us a call, you can do so, 314-436-7900. Let's grab our first call of the segment. John has given us a call. Hey, John, you are on Sports Open Line.
Hey, Matt. I'm confused. Why they're not having a day night doubleheader tomorrow? How are they going to pull this off?
First off, they're not. The rules behind it is it's in the collective bargaining agreement that you can only play so many day night doubleheaders throughout the year without getting player approval, and the Cardinals have passed by that number. So that's part of the reason. I also think if you're from a Chicago standpoint, they're not worried about attendance or anything, so they can go ahead and do it. But what are you concerned about pulling off?
No, that's the part.
Okay.
You know, Chicagoans are going to stick around for both games if they can.
They'll sell beer through all nine innings of the first game, that's for sure.
I know, I haven't seen this since the old days. I'm an old man, and they used to have, back-to-back doubleheaders all the time. But you just don't see it anymore.
No, you don't. I appreciate the phone call, John. There was one last year. I think it was a Busch. I know it was a Busch Stadium. I remember it because I was doing the between game stuff. So there was one traditional doubleheader last year at Busch Stadium. I have no recollection of who they were playing against. I just remember it did happen. teams normally like the split doubleheaders because you're able to have two separate gate openings. So from a ticketing standpoint, you're able to make the most money that way. Again, I don't think they're worried about that too much with the White Sox, considering their attendance and also the rules when it comes to the amount of doubleheaders you are can play and how long the players are being forced to stay at the ballpark longer when you've got the split doubleheader. So that's why there's the rules when it comes to that. Larry's giving us a call. Hey, Larry, you're on Sports Open Line.
Good evening. I don't know who made the call, whether it was Mozeliak or the field manager, but it's a great move. You get Sonny Gray set up to pitch two games at home, whereas if he pitches tomorrow, he only gets one game at home.
Yeah,
you
and
got the Reds who...
Yeah, I'm going to finish what you're about to say. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but against Cincinnati and Chicago, too. Like, you get not only two games at home, but two games against divisional opponents.
Well, you're tied with Cincinnati and you're seven behind the Cubs, so you get two shots there. That's a good move.
Yep.
McGreevy's pitching again. McGreevy, this is a good spot for him to pitch, and this Chicago team's terrible. They've won 23 games. Their defense is pathetic. One last point. Contreras had no business stepping back into the baseline. When a pitcher goes to cover first base, the first thing they teach you is you go parallel to the bag so you don't have any collisions with the runner, or you don't get hit in the back of the hamstring and you're sitting on the bench for 2 or 3 weeks. He could have very easily, that could have happened. So he's going to learn as he goes. And Hoskins was right. You don't step back into, you don't do it. It's a no-no. That's how it is.
All right, Larry, appreciate it. I don't think anybody has said that Contreras played that well. I think there seemed to be the insinuation from the Brewers that it was something that was done purposefully. I don't think it was. And I thought that they were a little over the top in the way they responded. But you're right, like, that was a mistake by Contreras. I'm not trying to cover up the mistake there. That was a mistake by Contreras. It wasn't a huge step back, but it was just enough. He's learning. He's learning first base. He has played it at a really high level this year, considering the fact that's not something he's really done in his career. So I give him all the credit in the world. But yeah, there was a mistake made by Contreras in that I think the Brewers reacted in a way that was a little bit over the top. Let's grab Randy, who's given us a call. Hey, Randy, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yeah, good show. I'm going to ask you a question. What is this team's identity? I mean, the Cardinals used to be known for defense, you know, tight pitching and clutch hitting, but I don't understand. This team is all over the place. What is their strength and what is their weakness? And are they going to be sellers at the trade deadline?
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Randy. I think their strength is defense. That's a for sure deal with this team. They are, by many metrics, they are the best defensive team in baseball. And that is something that they stand by and they are very proud of. So that would be the first thing I would say when it comes to who they are. I think they're a team that is relentless. I think they're a team that doesn't give up. I think they are an incredibly flawed team. I think they're a team filled with guys up and down the roster and up and down the lineup who don't have an incredible track record of success over 162 games outside of really Wilson Contreras. But guys that you can be really excited about, you can be excited about Ivan Herrera, you can be excited about Mason Winn, you can be excited about Brendan Donovan. But it is a team with an identity and a DNA that's going to continue to develop. I think that is when people look at this team and say, who are they? I actually think that's a legit question. And it's developing. Anytime they essentially made the decision this year when they let Paul Goldschmidt walk, when they declined the options on Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn, when they entertain the idea of trading Wilson Contreras and Sonny Gray, even though those guys said they didn't want to be traded, and when they attempt to trade Nolan Arenado, what you're saying is this team belongs to the young guys. Now, Wilson Contreras is still here. He is a leader on this team. Nolan Arenado is still here. But in many ways, who this team is, it's built around the younger guys who are not just, you know, some of these guys have been asked to, they've been asked to be big parts. Like I would not be truthful if I was telling you that Brendan Donovan hadn't previously been a big part of the team. We know who Mason Winn was and what he did last year. Obviously, Lars Nootbaar has been impacted by injuries, but he's somebody who has been, a lot has been expected of them. But now, in addition to a lot being expected of them, they're the leaders. They're the central key part of this team, and that's what we're figuring out now, what a team like that looks like. But I do think this team has... I said this the other day in almost a negative sense when I was talking about that final game of the Milwaukee series, because I loved the fact that this team seemingly always has some sort of rally going in the ninth inning, whether they're able to finish it off or not. They don't pack it in for the night, right? They are a team that's always going, and I really appreciate that about them. I thought that that final game of Milwaukee, man, they had to find a way to get that run in. They didn't do it. So I was a little bit more dismissive of them in that situation because I was disappointed that they didn't push across a run. But I love so much that this team has a bunch of group of guys that until they've lost the game, until they're taken off the field for the night, they don't give up. And I know, like, I hear myself talking and I sound like this, like, rah-rah cheerleader. That's not what I am. That's not what I'm doing. That's the truth about this team. They're not a perfect team. They have less than a 50% playoff probability. I think they can be a playoff club, but it's not going to be easy. They're going to need some help. But they are a team that keeps going and going and going, which is good. One more phone call before we break. Daryl has given us a call. Daryl, I got a quick moment for you. You're on Sports Open Line.
Well, if you want to comment on the other side of the break, I'm fine with that. To give you context, last year I was yelling at my radio saying Contreras needs to go because I looked at him as a defensive liability at catcher. The reason I bring that up is to say this. I'm wondering why people are just skipping over his name when it comes to first base all-star consideration. Who else is he going up against in the National League? Because I think he's been a very big surprise defensively and about what we expected offensively. I'll hang up and listen to you. Thanks.
Yeah certainly appreciate it. There's some other guys out there. I mean, you think of Freddie Freeman is obviously in that group. I haven't, to be perfectly honest with you, and I probably should, I have not compared his numbers to other first basemen in the National League. So here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. I'll come back. We've got just a couple minutes left in the show after that. We'll go over some of those numbers and where Contreras stacks in terms of his first base production. We'll do that in just a moment as this is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left in the program. So if you were listening to us a moment ago, we just got a phone call about Wilson Contreras stacked up against other first basemen in the National League in terms of all-star candidacy. And I would also, the one thing I would say about Contreras is when you remove basically his first week of the season, his numbers look completely different. But we're going to look at the entire body of work as we finish things off here. Because it was, to be perfectly honest with you, I really liked that phone call because I hadn't really thought about comparing Contreras. Say that three times real fast. Comparing Contreras with where he's at. So let's go through a few different offensive categories and we'll tell you where Contreras sits. When it comes to OPS, you hear me talk about OPS a lot. That's the number one number I normally look at for a guy. Contreras is actually tied for seventh in the National League. There are 12 qualified first basemen in the National League this year so far, and Contreras is tied for seventh. He's actually tied with Rhys Hoskins from Milwaukee, which there's a little bit of a humor that goes along with that. His OPS is at 748. Pete Alonso, who is clearly the most productive first baseman in the National League so far this year, is number one on that list at 954. And then you have Freddie Freeman, Micah Busch, also in there. You got Josh Naylor from Arizona. He's coming in at number four. Matt Olson from the from Atlanta comes in at number five. Bryce Harper qualifies at number six. And then you have Wilson Contreras at number seven. All good numbers, but obviously first base is an offensively driven position. So that's why you're going to have that. When it comes to batting average, Contreras is actually ranked number nine. I'm not a big batting average guy, but we're just looking at the different numbers. Batting average at 248. He is number nine on that list. Freddie Freeman leads the way at 333. Naylor is at 307. When it comes to home runs, Contreras, he is pretty far down that list. He's number six, excuse me. So I guess he's not as far down as I thought he was with number nine. Pete Alonso is leading the way as he has 17 from an RBI standpoint. Contreras is number three there. Alonso and Naylor are the only National League first baseman with more RBIs than Contreras. So on base percentage, Contreras is number eight. Freeman, Alonso, Harper, Naylor, Bush going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So Contreras' all-star candidacy in terms of comparing his offensive numbers against other first basemen in the National League, maybe not quite as good as you might think on the surface level when you do actually compare it. That's a really interesting question. I appreciate that call a lot and good to be able to look at some of those numbers. All right, that's it for us today. Cardinals doubleheader tomorrow. Coverage begins at 12:15. Be tuned in tomorrow for a lot of baseball here on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.